news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Tuesday marks the 32nd day of the longest government shutdown in history. It's also the two-year anniversary of Trump being sworn in as the nation's 45th president. On Saturday, the president presented Democrats with an option other than give me my wall or we kill the country, offering a 3-year temporary extension for DACA and another 3-year reprieve on temporary protective status or TPS for some immigrants from Latin America and African countries, if Congress also goes along with $5.7 billion in new funding for the wall. The Trump administration is simultaneously challenging those immigrant protection programs in court. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says there will be a vote in the Senate this week where the GOP proposal will need support from at least 7 Democrats to reach the 60-vote threshold for passage in the upper chamber. I think this is a good time to get in the Wayback Machine to hear what Mitch McConnell was saying just a month ago.
That's why we'll soon take up a simple measure that will continue government funding into February so we can continue this vital debate after the new Congress has convened.
Now, with the Democrats controlling the House, the turtle is singing a different song. He's giving up the Senate's power to override a presidential veto by proclaiming he won't even bring a bill to the floor without Trump's pre-assurances that he'll sign it. While a few Democrats could join Republicans in supporting the bill, it's unlikely the measure will get the necessary 60 votes. Regardless, this so-called deal appears to be dead on arrival in the House, where Pelosi this week plans to move ahead with another round of votes on smaller funding bills that have no additional money for a border wall. McConnell has repeatedly blocked those bills from getting a vote in the Senate. For some reason, the White House keeps putting Rudy Giuliani out front for interviews. Be careful. Watching him could give you whiplash, CNN explains.
President Trump's attorney Rudy Giuliani doing damage control today over his own media blitz. After first admitting the president had conversations about a Trump Tower Moscow deal all the way through the 2016 election.
Could be up to as far as October, November. Our answers cover until the election. So anytime during that period, they could have talked about it.
Giuliani now tells CNN President Trump has no recollection of discussions as late as Election Day. Trump couldn't know the exact date the talks ended, Giuliani claims, because there's no record of the negotiations. But just yesterday, Giuliani said Trump has acknowledged discussing the Moscow project with his former personal attorney, Michael Cohen, during the election.
He acknowledged that they had conversations about it throughout 2015, 2016.
Giuliani even telling the New York Times that Trump told him the discussions were, quote, going on from the day I announced to the day I won. Giuliani's comments flying in the face of Trump's claims ever since he was campaigning.
I have nothing to do with Russia. I have nothing to do with Russia.
The new timeline of discussions revealing how Trump's business dealings with Russia coincided with his foreign policy proclamations on the campaign trail.
The holiday weekend saw the number of declared 2020 Democratic presidential candidates expand. Joining Elizabeth Warren and Kirsten Gillibrand comes a third female senator vying for the Democratic nomination, Kamala Harris.
I am running for president of the United States.
Well, and
I'm very excited about it. This is a moment in time that I feel a sense of responsibility to stand up and fight for the best of who we are.
Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii had already thrown her hat in the ring, but on Sunday displayed why so many question her progressive cred, telling CNN's Jake Tapper that both sides are responsible for the Trump shutdown.
I think there are a whole host of issues that need to be addressed, but they cannot be addressed so long as both sides are not willing to come together and have a real conversation and hash out the differences and come up with something that works best for the American people.
That's interesting, though, because it's, you sound like you're not just blaming President Trump on this. You're also blaming Democratic leaders in Congress.
Both sides have completely hardened their positions and are unwilling to come together and work out the differences. And that's the problem here.
Bernie Sanders, who still hasn't announced whether or not he'll run, was in South Carolina for Martin Luther King Day and continues to speak plain English.
Today we talk about justice and today we talk about racism. And I must tell you, it gives me no pleasure to tell you that we now have a president of the United States who is a racist.
Hakeem Jeffries, chair of the House Democratic Caucus, used an MLK holiday speech at the National Action Network to criticize the president's racist record.
These are challenging times in the United States of America. We have a hater in the White House. Birther in chief. The Grand Wizard of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. One of the things that we've learned is that while Jim Crow may be dead, he still got some nieces and nephews that are alive as well. So one of the things that we need to do is learn from the lessons of Dr. King and how he dealt with such hate.
A new report from anti-poverty nonprofit Oxfam found that last year, just 26 people owned the same amount of wealth as the poorest 3.8 billion people. This figure is down from 43 the year before. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.